All right, good morning, everybody. It is really good to be back here again. Me and my wife are on our way down to Richmond via Culpeper today because I will be officiating a wedding for one of my youth kids, or used to be one of my youth kids. When I first met him, he was 9 years old, and today he's getting married, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing he's getting married to a wonderful Christian woman. The bad thing is I feel really old now. So, but it's going to be a really great day. It's going to be a blessed day. And so I thought, what best to come to the church here and give you a message on our way to Richmond. So very, very blessed to be here to talk about God's word today. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 9. And we'll be in Mark chapter 9:14-29. I want to share a quick story with you before we get into God's word. So some of you probably don't know this, but I used to be a professional musician back in the day when I was younger. I studied the trombone. Yes, we do exist. There are professional trombone players out there. And so I was a traveling musician for a number of years before I moved to the United States. And one particular trip, I was in Sweden. And I'd been invited to conduct a brass band and play some solos on my trombone. And at the end of the trip, my friends had said, okay, we're going to put you in a hotel room right next to the airport, and then we're going to send you on your way. You just, well, we've got a taxi coming for you in the morning. And so when the taxi comes, it'll take you to the airport, and you can go home. And I had to teach a class later that day, so everything had to be on time, and everything had to work perfectly. So I set my alarm, 4 a.m. in the morning, went out, and I went to go get some breakfast, and there was a lady there, started talking with her, found out she was a musician as well, and she was a violin player, and I was like, oh, very nice. So we were talking, saw the taxi arrive. Oh, okay, I need to go, very nice to meet you. So I went back to my room, got my suitcase, got my trombone, came back, and the taxi was gone, and the lady was gone. And I was like, she took my taxi. And then I realized she's a violin player. The trombone sit behind the violin player. She's probably getting revenge on me for all the loud noises I've been playing in all those years. So what did I think? Okay, now I've got to figure this out all by myself. So someone had told me, if you ever need or in an emergency, call 112. So I picked up the phone. I called 112. Very sleepy person answered the phone, said, you've rung room 112. You need to dial 9 to get out. So I'd woken someone up in the middle of the night. So I put the phone down, called again. Hello, emergency services. Yes, I need a taxi. No, 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 this is for ambulance, fire. And I said, well, just send one of those. They can take me to the airport as well. That'll be fine. No, we don't do that, sir. So I put the phone down. I'm looking at my watch. The flight is leaving really quickly. I'm really starting to panic now. I go outside the door. I start running around, seeing, is there anyone around here? There's no one there. It's 4 in the morning. And so I think to myself, what am I going to do? So I just think, I need to pray to God. I need to pray to him to deliver me from this situation. There's nothing else I can do now. I've tried everything. I've been dependent on all myself. This is the only thing I can do. So I prayed to the Lord. I looked up, and this man appeared from nowhere. And I said, hello, excuse me, sir, can you help me? I need to get to the airport. And he said, oh, I can help you. I'm going to the airport there right now. Why didn't you come with me? So he took me to the bus stop. We got on the bus. We started talking and everything. And he said, so where are you flying? I said, oh, I'm going back to London. And he said, oh, I'm going to London as well. Which flight are you on? And I was like, here's my flight number. Oh, I'm on the same flight as you as well. Oh, okay, where are you going? Oh, I'm the pilot of the plane. The Lord had sent me the pilot of the plane as an angel to take me home to England. There's a nice, funny little story right there. But the reminder for me was, why was I trying to depend on my own power in order to do something that I had no control over? Why was I just trying to fix everything myself when all I needed to do was to rely on the Lord and pray to him? And so this story we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the disciples who are trying to do something by themselves and not relying on the power of God. And so what we need to do when we look at this story, we need to be able to rely on our faith and belief in Jesus and the power of prayer. Because when we rely on the power of ourselves, things don't go well. We should always be relying on our faith in God and the power of prayer. So if you'd like to turn to Mark 9, 14, 21, if you're not there yet, we're going to go through this passage right now. Verse 14. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, roaming at the mouth. So this short passage right here that we just read, we see the story come alive right now. So Jesus and three of his disciples have just come back from an incredible event, the Transfiguration, which you can read in the passage before. They've just come from Mount Tabor, come all the way down. So we're in the western side of the Sea of Galilee right now. And they come across the disciples, and the scribes are arguing. There's this big commotion going on. We know the scribes love to argue with Jesus and the disciples. There's nothing new happening here. But then the crowd see Jesus, and they're amazed. They already know this is the Son of God. Something is going to happen. Something amazing is going to happen here. And so we find out what is going on here. And so we see this young boy who is possessed by a spirit, a demon, and we also see the father who is completely beside himself. And so we have this boy who is just going through this awful thing. And so right now we have a demon that is possessing a boy. And before we move on, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about demonic possession, because we have to ask the question, does demonic possession happen today? Does it happen today? Yes. It does. The demons haven't gone anywhere. They're still out there. We may see less of it. And I think I know the reason why, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we still see demonic possession today. This is not something that just happened in the Bible. It happens today. And unfortunately, I actually believe I was in a service once where a young man was possessed by a demon. Can't say for sure. But there were certain signs there that he was taken over, and he got up from his seat and he walked to the front of the service and started yelling and screaming. And it took six men to carry him out. And he wasn't a big guy, but it looked like he was possessed by something. And we all knew this young man was having a lot of trouble, was really struggling with some things. And they took him outside. They prayed for him. And later on, he came back in. He said, "I don't know what happened." Like, he didn't have any idea what had happened. He didn't remember anything. So I believe that was probably, can't say for sure, but that could have been a demonic possession that I saw. And we hear lots of stories today. We hear it in lots of other countries that this happens. But the question I want to ask is, why is it that we seem to hear a lot about it in the Bible, or especially during this time when Jesus is around, and we don't hear about it as much now? Is it like the demons are just having a vacation right now, or are they've just gone away for a little bit, they're just waiting? So I'm very blessed. I'm having a mentorship with one of my pastors at church, and he's awesome. And so I got to sit down with him and say, "Hey, I need your help with this, because I have some ideas. I really wanted to hear him." And his idea was, when Jesus came to the earth, the demons were shook. They know who Jesus is. And so they had to do everything in their power to go right at him. They are going to try everything they can to destabilize. Because as soon as Jesus is baptized, what is the first thing that happens? He's off to the wilderness and right in front of Satan, the king of the demons. Straight away, they're going to try to get Jesus. They're going to go after him the best they possibly can. And so there's so much demonic activity during the Gospels that the demons are ready. And they're going after Jesus, and they want to do everything to destabilize him. But they know who he is. And look at this, right down here, it says, when they brought the boy to him, the spirit saw him and immediately convulsed the boy. They know, here is Jesus, this is our chance, we are going to get this boy. There's no way Jesus can stop this. And so it's important for us to understand, this is why there's so much demonic activity back then, and it's still happening today, Just we don't see it as often, but it's still there. And we have to recognize, we have to understand that this is something that still happens today. But the main point of this passage, of this small passage here, is that the disciples themselves have tried to exorcise this demon, and they haven't been able to do it. And I think I know why. And so when Jesus comes down and he sees the disciples aren't able to cast it, the father is beside himself with grief and worry. Jesus says to them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And so Jesus already is, why do you not get it? Disciples, I've told you this. He's just brought back three of the disciples from an incredible moment of the transfiguration, and the disciples have completely failed. Yet previously, he sent them out two by two, and they've come back and told all of these wonderful things that, hey, they have done. They healed people. They exorcised demons. And right here, they completely and totally utterly failed. And Jesus is like, what is wrong with you? Do you still not get this? Why do you not believe? And so in this passage here, we see the disciples have to report an utter, total failure. And the demon is still in this boy and still causing him so much havoc. And it has brought the father to his knees because he doesn't know what to do. He is so beside himself. And so what we see here is that we see the disciples were not strong enough because they tried to do everything by themselves. And so my first point from this passage is our dependence comes from having faith in God. It's not by having faith in ourselves, by trying to do everything by ourselves, because we will always ultimately fail. We have to have faith in God with everything that we are doing in our lives, everything that we're doing in ministry, everything we are doing in our church. We have to have faith in God. And so a life application that comes from here is that we have to know that it is our faith in God that gives us strength and power. We have strength, we have power, but it's nothing compared to what we can't do with Jesus and with God in our lives. That power is what truly shapes our ministry and allows us to become completely and totally dependent on Jesus. And so we see it here. The disciples have decided, we're going to do this without Jesus. We're going to do this without God. We're just going to do it because we've done it before. We've done it. So why can't we just do it by ourselves? Let's do it. Let's just completely not depend on him. And the result is an epic failure. And so the story continues. In verse 21, if you'd like to read with me. And Jesus asked his father, the father of the boy, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can. All things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What an incredible moment that is going on here, with Jesus is healing this boy and getting the demon way out of here and showing everybody this is what happens when you believe in him. So my second point is our dependence comes from believing in Jesus. We have to believe in Jesus. And right here, Jesus says to the Father, he says right here, he says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And how much do we see that word believe? Believe in me throughout Scripture. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. For the whosoever believes in me shall have everlasting life. We see it all through Scripture. It's all about belief. And the same thing here. Jesus is saying to the Father, okay, the disciples, they messed up, but do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Do you think that I can do this? And the Father is saying, help my unbelief, because I've just seen you told your disciples they could do it. They even told me they could do this. They could help me, and they couldn't do it. Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do for you. Do you believe in me? And the father says, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. And so Jesus is the one whom we claim power from. He alone can save us, and we have to depend on him. And then the father here, he's now depending on Jesus. He's depending on believing in Jesus to heal him. Nothing else. He's tried to depend on the disciples, but they weren't depending on Jesus himself. They themselves were trying to do it by their own power. And so we see this here. We see Jesus coming in. He commands the spirit to come out of him. And after a while, he comes out of it. And right here, there's this incredible image here in this last verse. It's amazing. People say he's like a corpse. They think he's dead. But what does Jesus do? He takes him by the hand and he lifts him up. It reminds me of baptism, just looking at that. You know, when we're dead to our former life and we are raised to life by Jesus Christ. It's like Jesus has healed him, healed the boy of his sins because his father believes and has brought him up into a new life of believing in Jesus Christ. And that is such an amazing picture. What an incredible image that we see of Jesus raising this young boy, removing the sin, removing the demon, and lifting him up and showing him what happens when you believe in me. And so the application I believe we can take from here is that we have to believe that only Jesus, it's only Jesus, only Jesus is the one that can save us from our sins. He is the one who heals us by his power and his grace alone and equips and gifts us for our ministry. We are to depend on Jesus. And then the last two verses here, and this is where everything comes together with what Mark is saying here in this passage here. In verse 28 to 29, if you'd like to read with me. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. It's all about prayer. The disciples are like, what did we do wrong? And Jesus says to them, I'll tell you what you did wrong. You didn't trust in me. You didn't believe in me. And you didn't pray to me. And so, my third and final point is, our dependence comes from prayer. It comes from nothing else. Our dependence is in God. Our dependence is in Christ. And our dependence comes from prayer alone. Because when we try to do things by ourselves, we will ultimately always fail. And so we see it here. Jesus, right at the end of the passage, says, okay, you guys, you tried, but you tried to do it without me. And this is the result of this. You have to be able to pray. And then here's another interesting thing here. He says, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Now, what is Jesus saying? That this was just a demon that was just too powerful for them? Like Satan had sent his best demon. He sent the Michael Jordan, the demons, into him. Is that what he's saying? No, not at all. Not at all. Jesus is saying, when I say this kind, I'm saying anything you try to do without me is not going to work. It's not going to work without me. You have to pray to me and you have to depend on me. And so this passage here is just an incredible passage of as Mark is telling this story. I think one of the things that is really amazing is most scholars actually believe this passage that Mark wrote, there's a lot of detail here. Mark writes very, very short stories. He doesn't go into as much detail, but this one here, there's a lot. And a lot of scholars believe that the source he got this from is from Peter. That Peter, the disciple, told Mark this when they were together. And Peter was there and he wanted to give him as much detail. But also Peter wanted Mark to write about this story of failure because he didn't want us to fail. He wanted us to be reminded that we should not be depending on ourselves, but depending on Jesus. Depending on our faith in God. And depending on prayer throughout our lives. And so my final application, it's such an obvious one, is that prayer should be central in our lives. The power comes from God alone through prayer to him. And he will answer accordingly to his will. And sometimes he answers in ways that we do not understand. And so even today, I've got to talk to some of you last time I was here. I've got to talk to some of you when I was here. And it is so obvious that God has answered prayers for so many people here already. Incredible ways. But I bet if you tried to do it by yourself, it would not have worked. And an example, my son is here, and I'm so blessed to have my son here because, first of all, he's a miracle child. Me and my wife tried for a long time to have a baby, and then God blessed us with a baby. But it wasn't the doctors. The doctors gave some great advice, of course, and we followed them. But I believe it was prayer because we prayed so much. We had people praying for us. We depended on the prayer of others. And then when he was born 10 weeks early, oh no, what do? Do we run around and just panic? No, we prayed. And we had our church praying, so much so that Caleb was released from the hospital 4 weeks early than he should have. Even the nurses said, is someone praying for this child? Because nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense here. And although we had to depend on the nurses, we had to depend on them to take care of him, we depended on the prayers of our Lord, of the people of our church, praying to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they would heal Caleb ultimately and they would bring him home as soon as possible. And there are so many examples. There are so many examples that we could stand up right now. And I've heard the testimonies already today of what prayer does in our lives. And that is the main point of this passage, is that we are to pray to Jesus. We are to pray to our Lord and Savior. And we are not to depend on the power of ourselves, but the power of Jesus Christ. Because we can do anything with Jesus Christ. I mean, he even says it right here in the passage. It just says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And so I want to leave with you today, you know, let us have faith and let us have belief in Jesus. Do not try to do things by ourselves. We're going to fail. But with the power of God. Instead, let's come to him in prayer. Ask him to give us the power and peace to do our ministry and to live our lives, knowing that ultimately he is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let me close this in prayer because we're talking about prayer. We have to close in prayer and we have to pray. And if you need to pray by yourselves, go ahead and do it because that is where the power comes from. Father, we just thank you so much today. Thank you so much for reminding us of this incredible story here that you wanted us to know. That you wanted us to not be dependent on our own, by our own power, but that the power ultimately comes from you. And Lord, you have given us this incredible application for our lives, is to be in constant prayer. I know that people have been praying for me and my son and my family all the time. I know that there are people right now praying as I give this sermon because it's not my words, they are your words. And Lord, just remind us to constantly be in prayer, to find time to pray to you, to find time to be with you. Lord, we cannot do this by ourselves. As we've clearly seen in this story, the disciples tried to do it themselves and they failed. But when we believe in you, just like the Father believed, help my unbelief, help our unbelief. Let us believe in you. We can do all things through you and only you. Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.